Okay. It's customary in Klal Yisrael that during the weeks of Shovivim, Shovivim stands for the Parashiyot in Sefer Shemot, which is Shemot Va'era Bo B'Shalach, Yitro, and Mishpatim, that we especially are mechazik ourselves, that we inspire ourselves and clarify and learn once again the laws of Nida. And the laws of Nida are complex, and they have a lot of different applications. And if a person understands them properly, he'll know where to ask the questions, where to be more machmir in certain areas, and where he could be more lenient in certain areas. Because the more a person knows is a power, that he knows what how to apply the halakhot properly instead of doing the things that are needless and sometimes, you know, causing tremendous aggravation for no reason. On the other hand, chas v'shalom, making simple mistakes that could mess one up in regards to nida. So in that regards, we're going to have a four-part series. The first part is going to be today, and we're going to discuss today how a woman becomes a nida. We're going to discuss the different details of what's called a nida mideoraita, what's called a nida mideoraita, what's called a nida miderabanan, and we're going to see what leniency is there are if a woman is not a nida derabanan. And then we're also going to discuss bidikot, in other words, women checking with cloth, and we're going to discuss different doctor checks that comes up quite often. And if we have time, we'll get into a couple of detailed instructions in that regard. Okay, let's start with the basics. It's written in the Torah, Isha. First of all, we have to know like this. It's written in the Torah in Sefer Vayikra that there are basically two types of tum'ah that a woman could get. There's the tum'ah of a nida, and then there's the tum'ah of a zava. A nida is a woman who sees blood during her regular menstrual cycle. There the Torah says that she has to check every single, she has to check when she has this dam, and at the end of 7 days, she could go to the mikveh. That means that even if a woman saw for 7 days straight, the seventh day she checks, she could go to the mikveh. Then there's another parasha in the Torah called Azava. Azava is a woman who sees, not necessarily during the time et data, not necessarily during a menstrual cycle, it's more like she's seeing an irregular time. That also is a tuma deoraita, a Torah type of tuma. But a zava, on the other hand, doesn't get the status of a nida that for 7 days she could see and then she goes to the mikveh. A zava would depend how bad a zava she is. She saw for 1 day, she has to keep 1 day and then go to the mikveh. She saw 2 days, she keeps 2 days, go to the mikveh. She's 3 days. The Torah tells us she has to keep Shiva Nikiyim. She has to keep 7 clean days. She has to keep Shiva Nikiyim, 7 clean days. 7 clean days means every day, those days have to be clean, that she has to make sure that she doesn't have any dam. So nowadays, we don't know how to differentiate between what's dam nida and dam ziva. Already the Tur in the 1400s wrote, Nitma'atu halivavot, that the hearts became smaller, and we accepted upon ourselves Chumra de Rav Zeira, the stringency of Rav Zeira, which is that a woman who sees even tipat dam kechardal, a tiny amount of blood, that blood, we treat it as a woman is a zava gedola. That means that she has to keep 7 days of Shiva Nekiyim. That's the normative halacha that has been in Klal Yisrael for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. That a woman who sees dam, we treat it as a zava. We treat her as a zava gedola. What? Because we don't know if she's a nida or a zava, and therefore, even though a nida would be able to go to the mikveh even the day before she saw blood, but a zava gedola would have to wait 3 days. This woman is treated like a zava gedola, and therefore, any woman who sees blood of a nida nowadays has to wait 7 days and then go to the mikveh. Now, in order for it to be blood of a nida, it has to come from the womb. It's blood that comes from the womb. Blood that's coming from a cut that's on her side or something. That's obviously not called dam nida. It has to be dam that's coming from the womb. But there's another condition that's written that we derive from what's written in the Torah in order to be dam nida, and that's called a hargasha. It's written in the Torah. When a woman sees dam bivsara, and the Gemara in Perek Aroi Ketem in Nida says, ad shetargish bivsara, until a woman feels, has a hargasha, she has a feeling, we'll call it hargasha for lack of a better translation, until she has a feeling that the dam is coming out, that's called the dam is considered a dam nida de oraita and not a dam nida de rabbana. Okay, so for example, if a woman sees dam and she has a hargasha, she has a feeling that the dam is coming out of her makor, out of her womb, that makes her de oraita. But if she sees dam that's without any hargasha, it's a stain, it's a ketem, so that blood is not mitame her on a deoraita level. That blood is not doesn't mitame her on a deoraita level, and she's still going to be still going to be asr only derabbanan. So far so good. So what do we have over here? That a woman who has a hargasha, that makes it into a dam nida deoraita. What's called a hargasha? So the poskim say that there are a couple of types of hargasha that are mideoraita. There's ptichat piya mikor, that if a woman literally feels that her womb is opening in her womb when her blood's coming out, then she knows that's called a hargasha. Or another example is that if a woman feels that there's something that is flowing in her body, that's called a ziva davarlach, that's called a hargasha. The big question is nowadays, if you're going to ask women, they're going to tell you that they don't feel anything. They don't feel that they have their womb opening up and the blood is coming out. So if they don't feel anything, how does a woman know that she's a nida deoraita nowadays? This is one of the big unwritten questions in nida nowadays. Why is a woman a nida deoraita when she doesn't feel she has a hargasha? So there are two answers I want to propose over here. They're not my answers, but they're answers that I think that are the most, out of everything that was written on this subject, that they make the most sense. The first answer was written by Professor Abraham. He is Bitamit Racham. He wrote the Sfarim Nishmat Avraham. He's a doctor in Shari Tzedek for many years, probably retired now. And he writes like this, something very interesting, that it was discovered that a woman's cervix nowadays is not tightly shut like it used to be. There's 1 or 2 centimeters that it's open. There's no blood that's flowing, but it's not as tightly shut as it used to be. And he says it could be that that's why women don't have hargasha nowadays, because since it's not as tightly shut, a woman doesn't feel when it opens.
Yeah, but the egg is coming from.
The egg could. That's something that that's coming from the fallopian tubes.
That's right. So like the
I'm talking about the cervix itself, where the blood is coming out from. Okay. There's no hargasha ptichat piyam mikor. So when blood comes out, she doesn't necessarily feel it. The pardis rimonim says another answer, and he says that women nowadays are not as sensitive, as attuned as they used to be to their bodies. And she does have a hargasha, but she doesn't feel it over here. It's a problem over here, not a problem in her stomach. That's what the Pardes Rimon says. But it comes out according to both these answers. It doesn't mean that it's damnida. It's damnida that's coming with a technicality that I can't feel a hargasha, especially according to the Pardes Rimonim. It's dam with a hargasha. Could be she doesn't exactly feel it, but that doesn't mean that it's not called damnida. Which brings us to the following point. How does a woman know that she is a nida nowadays if she doesn't have the hargasha? How does a woman know that she's a nida without a hargasha? So here we have the subject of ktamim. Ktamim means stains. We have a nida is a woman who sees a tipat dam behargasha. That means she sees dam. It could be even a drop of blood, but with a hargasha. How do you know if a woman had a hargasha? Very hard to tell nowadays.
I thought we just said we don't. She doesn't need to have a hargasha.
She doesn't need to have a hargasha, but it has to be dam that we would assume would usually come with a hargasha. It has to be the type of blood that we assume that would come with a hargasha. When a woman sees a stain, a random stain, that's not necessarily blood that comes behargasha. That's not necessarily blood that's going to come with a sensation.
So it can be a Rabbanan blood?
That blood is not going to be Asur Midioraita because of Nida. We're going to see it's a separate subject of Ketamim, and there's going to be separate rules. But a woman who sees blood behargasha, this is a very important point, then even if it's a tiny amount, it's going to be Asur. But usually, a tiny amount is a Ketim. Over here, we have to understand that there are only a couple of very narrow cases where a woman's going to see a small amount of blood and it's still going to be Asur Deoraita. And these two cases are going to be when a woman could have actually had a Hargasha, but because of a technical reason, she wasn't Margish. For example, a woman doing a Bedika. Margish is having a Hargasha, having a sensation. Now, when a woman does a bedika, when a woman does an internal check, so there, any amount of blood that she sees, even if it's a tiny speck of blood, that blood is called damnida, because she has blood there, and don't tell me she didn't have a sensation, because there's no way of knowing if she had a sensation or not, because she was involved in the sensation of checking. So the sensation of checking trumps the sensation of the feeling, because she, in the middle of checking, she could have been feeling, but she could have been feeling the dam coming out, but she was too busy checking. So therefore, any blood a woman sees on a bedika cloth is automatically considered dam nida, and it's called damnida, and it's not called a ketem. Even though it's very small, it's damnida, and it's not called a dam ketem. And any blood a woman's going to find on a bedika cloth, she has to assume that it's damnida de oraita. Good? Not only that, there's another situation also, which is a woman who sees blood right after relations. There, the blood is also coming. It could be that there was a hargasha, but the woman didn't feel that there was a hargasha because she had the sensation of relations. It's called dam shebachar tashmish. And if it's found on the man, or if it's found right away on the lady, so then we assume that whatever blood, even if it's very small, but it's also considered dam nida. Those are two exceptions to the case where even though it's a small amount of dam, but nevertheless it's still asur deoraita. Nevertheless, if she sees any blood besides that during the month, during her whole any time of the month, she sees that she has blood. It's a small amount of blood. We could assume that that's not dam nida deoraita. That's a ketem, unless she sees the derech, the way of seeing a cycle. It's, you know, it's a flow. It's many different stains. It comes every couple hours. But that's what we considered, and then she could already assume that she's a nida, and it's not called the ketem. But if a woman is going to see one random stain, two random stains, that's going to be a ketem. And there's going to be different laws, which we're going to discuss in a moment, for a ketem. By the way, this is probably one of the most gray areas for people who ask questions and for rabbanim. And this is where a rav has to have much experience in halacha, in different practice of where he learned by, and also the one who's asking has to know that if a woman sees one stain, two stains, she starts seeing more stains, when does it cross the line from being a ketem to being a regular re'ia, to being a regular menstrual cycle? Usually a woman knows. She'll say, okay, I know I'm in my menstrual cycle. But there are sometimes, especially a woman who's taking birth control pills, and many times the birth control pills, which are a mixture of estrogen and progesterone, it's a mixture between them, and if there's a certain mix of if there's not enough progesterone, especially the mini pill, there's a type of pill that a woman takes while she's nursing, a lot of times that's going to cause a woman to stain. And that's a big issue, because a woman stains and she sees that a lot of times it's blood, but she doesn't know whether it's a need or not. And that has to be discussed privately with the Rav, what happens when a woman stains, when it's allowed, when it's not allowed, because it's going to matter a lot of different things and different details. But that's where this question is going to come about. So once we have determined that there's a difference between Anida de Oraita, which is a woman who sees even a small amount of blood because that blood could have came with a Hargasha, and Anida de Rabbanan, which is a woman who sees only Ktamim, now we can understand our second subject, which is, what's a Ketem? A Ketem is a stain. Okay, very good. So is a stain Asur because of Nida or not? So Mide Oraita, we said it's not called Dam Nida because it doesn't have Hargasha. Chachamim still said it's asur because it's dome ledam nida. There's different reasons why we asur a ketem, but a ketem is asur midirabanan. But because it's asur midirabanan, Rabbanan gave certain limitations when it's going to be asur and when it's going to be mutter.
Can you just differentiate again the difference between a ketem and then a nida?
A ketem is a stain that a woman sees, something that we could assume is dam that doesn't come usually hargasha. Blood that comes with a sensation is menstrual blood. A woman who sees a random stain, that's not called dam behargasha. And that type of blood is not asur de oraita.
But what if she says it's part of my flow, even though I didn't have a hargasha?
So if a woman sees a random one thing and she doesn't ever see it, 2 hours before, 2 hours after, one day before, one day after, it's just random, that's not called the flow.
Okay.
And it doesn't usually come behargasha. It doesn't come with the hargasha, and that's not called damnida that the Torah forbade. So if a woman would see a random stain, for on a Torah level, that's not called damnida de oraita, and it would be mutter. However, midirabanan, the Chachamim said it's asr. But here we have the subject of tamim, that since it's only the rabbanan, there are certain limitations that we give to it.
The rabbis came and said it's asur because they don't know the difference.
And no, they said that no. We know that it's not damnida de oraita, but if we're going to forbid, if we're going to permit ktamim, so she's also there's a machloket rishonim why it's not allowed. There's a Tosfot says because sometimes a woman is going to see behargasha and she's not going to make a difference, and that is going to be dam de oraita. And then the Ran says because on a Tumavet Tahara, on a purity impurity level, which we don't have nowadays, even though it's that's not with the Hargasha, it still contracts Tuma. So we can't make a difference between Tuma and Nida, so therefore we Asr Midirabanan. But since it's only Asr Midirabanan, there are certain leniencies to it. The first leniency, and this is one of the most amazing leniencies, is the amount of blood. You see, it used to be in the time of Chazal that there was many different louse, we'll call them lice, that were around, and they would cause stains all over because they would suck out blood, and then you kill it, and all of a sudden it makes a stain. That's called in the Lashon of the Gemara a ma'acholet. Okay, and literally speaking, it's a louse. And what happened was that when a louse, when a person goes to sleep, he wakes up in the morning, it was very common they would find a bunch of different blood stains around because of the different louse that they killed over the night when they turned over. Right? Now, I found a couple of louse with them when I was learning Hilchot Nida. Whatever, it wasn't over here, but it was somewhere where I found louse, and I wanted to see, could you easily extract blood from them? So I found one, and I wrapped him up in a bag, and I took him, and I tried to smush him, and no blood came out, so I was a little bit puzzled. But then, I saw that there was one of the louse, actually, after he sucked out blood, if you take it and you punch it, then the blood comes out much easier. So I said, that's what used to go on over there, that they would suck out, and it seems to be that it was a common thing. Now,
I think you're spending too much time in kindergarten.
A louse that was killed and smushed was the size of a kigris. Uh-huh. A kigris is around a penny. I don't know if they still have pennies nowadays, but a kigris is around the size of a penny. That was the time of Chazal, which means that any blood that was less than a penny, Chachamim would say there's no way of knowing that this is dam that came from the lady. Even if it did come from the lady, it's not asur m'deoraita, right? But there's no way it came from the lady. It could be it came from the macholet. So we're not going to make a gzeira. We're not going to make a prohibition on the laws of ktamim. Remember, we're not talking about nida deoraita anymore. We're talking about ktamim. We're not, ktamim in literally in Hebrew means a stain, a ketem, a stain. We're not going to make this prohibition of stains unless it's more than a penny. We're just not going to make the prohibition of stains unless it's more than a penny. Anything less than a penny, we're going to permit. Anything more than a penny, we're going to say it's asr. That was the halacha. The Ben Ish Chai discusses what happens that nowadays that the macholot became smaller and the shear of a macholot is much less than a dime even. In other words, when it's smushed, the amount of blood is less than a dime. He says we don't. He's machmir actually. Many poskim. I think Rav Avadia Yosef and others say that the shir macholet doesn't change. And nowadays, even if the macholet is less, but we take on that anything less than a penny, we don't consider as damnita. That means if a woman finds a stain nowadays, that's less than a penny. It's mutar. Mutar. And unless random. Unless it's not on a bedika cloth and not right after tashmish. And not right after relations. Besides those two times that we're gonna see another time by doctor visits soon, any time that a woman's going to see blood as a random stain, that we could consider it that if it's less than a penny it's allowed. Another leniency. That's the first leniency. Another leniency is that any time a woman's going to see blood on material that is not white, we permit it as well. Why? Because it's hard to tell if it's blood or not. So Chachamim never made a gzera. You're right. If it's on something brown, you could kind of tell maybe if it's blood or not. But Chachamim didn't want you to break your head on it. And they said that we're only going to make a gzera if it's something white and a penny. So anything that's not white is going to be allowed. The poskim discuss, what about neon colors nowadays? On neon colors, neon, you could really be able to tell very clearly if it's blood or if it's not blood. Rav Ben Tzion of Ashol, Rav Avad Yosef, were of the opinion that even neon colors, as long as it's not white, it's allowed.
But if the toilet area is bigger than a penny, but some of that has color?
That's a very good question. So what about if the total area, some of it has color or not? There are different opinions. There are different opinions on that question. The Sefer Sidri Tahara brings two or three different opinions on that. But the accepted halacha is that if there's different spots and they're not connected, it's allowed. If they're connected, then you have an issue. And according to some poskim, it's a problem. Because since you tell that it's all one mare, even though not all of it is red, but it's considered... as a whole, a ketem, it's a problem. So that could be an issue, but it's going to depend on the mare once again. Now, it's going to depend on the actual state. Now, furthermore, That's the second limitation they gave to the gzera. The third limitation is that if she sees the ketem on something that doesn't contract tuma, that doesn't contract according to the laws of purity and impurity, then it's also not called a ketem. For example, if a woman sees blood on a piece of paper, is made to throw out. It's not mekabel tuma. If a woman sees on a toilet seat, is part of the ground. Ground is not mekabel tuma. If a woman sees in water, water is also connected to the ground. It's not mekabel tuma. If a woman sees blood on an area that's never mekabel tuma, chachamim never made the gzeira. They never made the prohibition of ktamim. Some say the reason is because the whole reason of ktamim is because of tuma v'tahara, because we're going to get confused with the laws of tuma. But if it doesn't contract tuma, so it's going to be allowed anyways. So therefore, we never made a restriction on ktamim, something that's not mekabel tuma.
What's the reason for that again? Sorry.
So because the whole reason that we forbade ktamim was because even though this blood is not damnida that will forbid the lady, but whatever surface it's on, it will make it tame. And in the time of the Bet HaMikdash, or when we had Tumah, you would have to purify this beged. So they didn't want to make the differentiation between the lady and the beged, so they said that the ketem also forbids the lady. But if this actual beged doesn't become tame, so there's no reason to forbid the lady. So therefore, we allowed it. So this is very common. If a woman sees on toilet paper blood, according to many poskim, and this was the opinion of Rav Ben Tzion Ben Shaul, even if she sees right away after she goes to the bathroom, if she sees blood, that blood is not called a damnida, and there's not even a prohibition of ktamim because it's on a davar she'enu mekabel tuma. There will be some poskim, mostly Ashkenazi poskim, that are going to forbid blood that comes right after a woman goes to the bathroom, because they say she had a hargasha of going to the bathroom, and right afterwards she sees blood, so they connect one to the other. But the opinion of Ben Sina Bashol and others was that any blood a woman sees right after, even if it's 10 or 50 seconds, 15 seconds after she goes to the bathroom, we consider it that it's a ketem, and it's a ketem, and since it's a ketem on something that doesn't contract tuma, it's allowed. Okay, so size, color, material that it's on. Now, another very big ramification material that it's on is a sanitary pad. Sanitary pad is a complicated subject on its own. We just had a whole shiur, an hour shiur, from one of the big rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, and he literally took apart two companies of sanitary pads and showed us that how they're made. They're not made from cotton. They're made from compressed carton, and that's the only way that they could survive in such a market. Otherwise, cotton is very expensive. And which would mean that it's material that's made to throw out. That's another reason to allow it. And therefore, many poskim were of the opinion that pads are also not mekabel tuma. Now, this is a little bit of a dangerous psak. On one hand, a woman who would see blood on a pad, if it's a ketem, it's mutter. But that's only if it's a stain. If a woman sees tons of blood on a pad, and a lot of times the pad could absorb, so you don't really know, that might not be a ketem anymore. So although it's advisable for a woman to wear a sanitary pad during the shnikiyim, because in case she stains, it won't forbid her if it's only a stain. But on the other hand, if it's a lot of blood, she should ask a rav whether that might be made her anida because of a regular menstrual cycle.
I thought any blood that comes during the 7 days is automatically anida blood.
No. If it's blood that she sees as a random stain, that's not called nida blood. It's still called the ketem. But if she sees it on white, which she's supposed to wear white during Shiva Nikim, if she sees it on white, and it's a penny, and it's on an undergarment that's white, she's tame derabanan. She wore a sanitary pad, and it was only a stain, even if it was more than a penny, we would have been able to permit that blood because it's a ketem that's on a sanitary pad. Got it? So therefore, a woman who sees blood in any one of these four ways, it's less than a kegris, it's not on white, which is usually not during the Shiva Nikiyim, because that's why we tell women not during the times of Shiva Nikiyim not to wear white, because we tell her not to wear white, because if she wears white, she gets herself into complications if she sees blood. Or if a woman has something that's not mekabel tuma. And the fourth thing is if a woman has a reason to say that the blood is coming from somewhere else. For example, she's suffering from hemorrhoids, or she has cuts, external cuts that are causing this blood. And there's reason to think, even though it's not 100%, but there's reasons to think that maybe the blood is coming from there, from a scratch, that also permit a ketem, even if it's more than a penny, even if it's on a white garment. But if it might be coming from a cut, we're also going to permit that. So these are four different leniencies that we're going to give to Dam Nida. Number one is that it's more than that it's the size of it of a kegris. Number two, that it's on something that's, if it's colored, then it's not going to be a problem. Number three, if it's on something that doesn't contract too much, it's not going to be a problem. Number four, if there's where it could have came from, also could play a role to permit it. So far, so good. Mm-hmm. The one last point that I wanted to give that's relevant to this is a woman who goes to the doctor, and the doctor makes internal checks. Usually it's a gynecologist who does certain checks. So here, it's not as complicated as it sounds, but there's a rule in the Gemara that says, "En ptichat hapeh belo dam." That means any opening of the cervix, automatically, a woman, we would assume, would see blood. And therefore, anytime a woman's cervix is open, we say probably blood would come out. How much is the blood, does the cervix have to open? There were different discussion among the poskim. I don't know if you know what millimeters are, but there was but some say 8 millimeters is already. How much is that in inches? Quarter of an inch, whatever.
Yeah, roughly.
Quarter of an inch. That would be considered already a chashash of anida de oraita. Now, the reason why this is not so practical nowadays is that any time a woman usually has an internal check, blood comes out anyways. It's not like you have to say, you just have to know, practically speaking, what's a procedure that will cause dam nida de oraita. So there's, for example, if a woman has to get a DNC, she suffered lo'aleinu, a miscarriage, she has to clean her womb. But of course that's dam nida. Of course a woman's going to become a nida through that procedure. They're cleaning out her womb and she's being purified from nida blood. On the other hand, a woman who has an internal ultrasound, they're not even reaching the cervix. It's just an internal ultrasound in her area, which is not even reaching the cervix at all. There's no question at all that why should a woman become nida because of that? There are other procedures. I'm not going to get into all of the complicated procedures, but just to give a couple of more examples. A woman who has to, there's different methods of birth control. One of the methods of birth control is an IUD. An IUD is basically a piece of metal that is inserted inside a woman's womb, and has a string coming out. It's a metal that's inserted in a woman's womb, and that causes that for whatever reason a woman will never become pregnant. Anytime that a woman has the IUD inserted and taken out, she becomes a nida, because that goes into the womb and it comes out from the womb. So that a person has to realize, you know, it's best to do such a procedure when a woman is already in nida. And by the way, there are some IUDs that cause staining issues, so it's worthwhile to speak to a rav as well, and to get different options from the gynecologist. What type of IUD? First of all, he has to have a heter in regards to birth control. But besides that, the different types of IUDs, because some IUDs, specifically the Miranda type of IUDs, that causes much more staining than other IUDs. So because of that, a person has to be aware as well.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Isn't the underlying concern with nida blood that this is the, you know, potentially loss of a soul, right? And so that's where the impurity derives. So if So if you for sure know that it was an IUD that caused the bleeding, she gets the IUD, she bleeds immediately afterwards.
Right.
Then where's the problem?
I hear you're asking on a philosophical term. We have to differentiate in halacha that the original reason might be that, but the definition, in Hebrew it's called the geder of the reason, is that any blood that's coming from the womb is eventually something that could have formed the baby. So it's blood from the womb. It's not injury blood from outside of the womb. It's actually blood that's coming from the womb.
When the doctor checks her, it's blood from the womb? Or
well,
it's blood
if he's checking her from inside the cervix, if he has to go inside the cervix, obviously he's not going to check with her finger because he can't open the cervix with his finger. It's going to cause a tremendous amount of pain and also could cause injury. Talking about that he goes in with a specific tool that he could go into the cervix, yes, that will cause, that will... You're going into an area that there's blood. Of course, blood will come out because of that, and that's part of blood. To answer your question, could have eventually formed a baby, and it's the walls of the blood, and that could have formed the baby.
Maybe there was an egg in there because the blood.
No. Maybe there was an egg. Whether there was egg, whether there's an egg, doesn't matter. It's
blood
it's,
just from the uterus alone.
It's different blood, no.
Well, it had potential that if an egg would have came, it would have. So. That whole area, we say that's damnida. We're not going to start saying, well, this specific blood would have formed the baby, would it not? We don't start differentiating in that. We say that's tumah blood. You're right in the philosophical reasons that could be given, but they don't determine halachot al pi Torah. Reasons in Hebrew are just called te'amim. They give a taste, but they're not they're just like a taste. Whether the food gives taste or not, still food, right? Just of the Torah is the Torah on its own. A taste maybe help us understand better, but they just to give us a little bit of a taste. So I'm not going to get into all the different procedures like hysteroscopy and I have a hard time saying all these words, and the hysteroscalpingography, HSG, and different biopsies. A lot of times you should know that different pap smears do not cause any issues. It's also internal. And those are quite common. But anything that has to do with permeating the womb, that you have to know yourself. And that's why you have to ask a doctor what exactly the procedure, and then you'll be able to proceed to know whether a woman is going to become nida through this or not. So this is the first subject that we discussed today. Basically, we discussed how a woman becomes a nida, the difference between a nida deoraita and not, and doctor checking. One last thing that we didn't... What time do we have?
It's 10 past.
Okay, so I'm just going to finish up. One last thing that we didn't discuss was that anytime a woman does a bedika, we determine that even if it's a small amount of blood, she's asur deoraita. Why is she asur deoraita? Because we say this is blood that probably came behargasha. So since a woman is...
Are we here or there?
Since a woman saw blood, so it's she's probably anida deoraita. This we have to know is that even if it's a tiny amount of blood. Next week we're going to discuss different colors of the blood that could be allowed and could be not allowed. We'll even see a bedika cloth to see how exactly it works and what are the laws in regards to asking in regards to the bedika cloths and how a woman, once she becomes tameh, what's the procedure, how she becomes tahor. So it's not going to be next week Bezrat Hashem, it's going to be in 2 weeks from today.